shield Rhys had thrown around us. Not to shield against Baron, but the other High Lords were now on their feet.
"That was how you got through my wards,"
Tarquin murmured.
Baron was panting so hard he looked like he might spew fire, but Helion rubbed his jaw as he sat down once more.
"I wondered where it went, that little bit. So small, like a fish missing a single scale. But I still felt whenever something brushed against that empty spot."
A smirk at Rhys.
"No wonder you made her High Lady."
"I made her High Lady," Rhys said simply, lowering his hands from my face but not leaving my side. "Because I love her. Her power was the last thing I considered."
I was beyond words, beyond basic feelings. Helion asked Tamlin,
"You knew of her powers?"
Tamlin was only watching me and Rhys, my mate's declaration hanging between us.
"It was none of your business,"
was all Tamlin said to Helion, to all of them.
"The power belongs to us. I think it is,"
Baron seethed. Moore leveled a look at Baron that would have sent lesser males running. The Lady of Autumn was clutching her arm, angry red splattered along the moon-white skin. No glimmer of pain on that face, though. I said to her as I reclaimed my seat, "I'm sorry." Her eyes lifted toward mine, round as saucers. Baron spat.
"Don't talk to her, you human filth!"
Rhys shattered through Baron's shield, his fire, his defenses, shattered through them like a stone hurled into a window, and slammed his dark power into Baron so hard he rocked back in his seat. Then that seat disintegrated into black, sparkling dust beneath him, leaving Baron to fall on his ass. Glittering ebony dust drifted away on a phantom wind, staining Baron's crimson jacket, clinging like clumps of ash to his brown hair.
"Don't ever,"
Rhys said, hands sliding into his pockets.
"Speak to my mate like that again."
Baron shot to his feet, not bothering to brush off the dust, and declared to no one in particular,
"This meeting is over. I hope Highburn butchers you all."
But Nesta rose from her chair.
"This meeting is not over."
Even Baron paused at her tone. Eris sized up the space between my sister and his father. She stood tall, a pillar of steel.
"You are all there is,"
she said to Baron, to all of us.
"You are all that there is between Highburn and the end of everything that is good and decent."
She settled her stare on Baron, unflinching and fierce.
"You fought against Highburn in the last war. Why do you refuse to do so now?"
Baron did not deign to answer, but he did not leave. Eris subtly motioned his brothers to sit. Nesta marked the gesture, hesitated, as if realizing she indeed held their complete attention, that every word mattered.
"You may hate us. I don't care if you do. But I do care if you let innocents suffer and die. At least stand for them. Your people. For Highburn will make an example of them. Of all of us."
"And you know this. How?"
Baron sneered.
"I went into the cauldron," Nesta said flatly. "It showed me his heart. He will bring down the wall and butcher those on either side of it."
Truth or lie, I could not tell. Nesta's face revealed nothing, and no one dared contradict her. She looked to Callias and Vivian.
"I am sorry for the loss of those children. The loss of one is abhorrent."
She shook her head.
"But beneath the wall I witnessed children, entire families, starve to death."
She jerked her chin at me.
"Were it not for my sister, I would be among them."
My eyes burned, but I blinked it away. Too long, Nesta said. For too long have humans beneath the wall suffered and died, while you and Prithian thrived. Not during that queen's reign.
She recoiled as if hating to even speak Amarantha's name. But long before.
If you fight for anything, fight now. To protect those you forgot. Let them know they're not forgotten. Just this once.
Theson cleared his throat. While a noble sentiment, the details of the treaty did not demand we provide for our human neighbors. They were to be left alone, so we obeyed.
Nesta remained standing. The past is the past. What I care about is the road ahead. What I care about is making sure no children, fey or human, are harmed. You have been entrusted with protecting this land.
She scanned the faces around her.
How can you not fight for it?
She looked to Baron and his family as she finished. Only the lady and heiress seemed to be considering, impressed even by the strange, simmering woman before them.
I didn't have the words in me to convey what was in my heart. Cassian seemed the same.
Baron only said,
I shall consider it.
A look at his family, and they vanished.
Eris was the last to winnow. Something conflicted dancing over his face, as if this was not the outcome he'd planned for, expected. But then he too was gone. The space where they'd been, empty, save for that black, glittering dust.
Slowly Nesta sat, her face again cold, as if it were a mask to conceal whatever raged in her at Baron's disappearance. Callias asked me quietly,
Did you master the ice?
I gave a shallow nod. All of it. Callias scrubbed at his face as Vivian set a hand on his arm.
Does it make a difference, Cal?
I don't know, he admitted.
That fast, this alliance unraveled. That fast, because of my lack of control, my...
It either would have been this or something else,
Rhys said from where he stood beside my chair, one hand toying with the glittering panels on the back of my gown.
Better now than later.
Callias won't break. He just needs to sort it through on his own. But Tarquin said,
You saved us under the mountain. Losing a kernel of power seems a worthy payment.
It seems she took far more than that,
Helion argued.
If she could be within seconds of drowning Baron despite the wards.
Perhaps I had gotten around them simply by being made, outside anything the wards knew to recognize. Helion's power, warm and clear, brushed against the shield, trawling through the air between us, as if testing for a tether. As if I were some parasite, leeching power from him, and he'd gladly sever it.
Theson declared,
What's done is done.
Short of killing her.
Rhys's power roiled through the room at the words.
There is nothing we can do.
It wasn't entirely placating, his tone. Words of peace, yet the tone was terse. As if, were it not for Rhys and his power, he'd consider tying me down on an altar and cutting me open to see where his power was and how to take it back. I stood looking Theson in the eye, then Helion, Tarquin, Callias, exactly as Nesta had done.
I did not take your power. You gave it to me, along with the gift of my immortal life. I am grateful for both, but they are mine now. And I will do with them what I will.
My friends had risen to their feet, now in rank behind me, Nesta at my left. Rhys stepped to my right, but did not touch me. Let me stand on my own, stare them all down. I said quietly, but not weakly, I will use these powers, my powers, to smash Hybern to bits. I will burn them, and drown them, and freeze them.
I will use these powers to heal the injured, to shatter through Hybern's wards. I have done so already, and I will do so again. And if you think that my possession of a kernel of your magic is your biggest problem, then your priorities are severely out of order.
Pride flickered down the bond. The High Lords and their retinues said nothing. But Vivian nodded, chin high, and rose.
I will fight with you.
Cressida stood a heartbeat later.
As will I.
Both of them looked to the males in their court. Tarquin and Calais rose, then Helion, smirking at me and Rhys. And finally, Theseon. Theseon and Tamlin, who did not so much as breathe in my direction, had barely moved or spoken these past few minutes. It was the least of my concerns, so long as they were all standing.
6 out of 7. Rhys chuckled down the bond.
Not bad, Cursebreaker. Not bad at all.
Chapter 47. Our alliance did not begin well. Even though we talked for a good 2 hours afterward, the bickering, the back and forth, continued. With Tamlin there, none would declare what numbers they had, what weapons, what weaknesses. As the afternoon slipped into evening, Theseon pushed back his chair.
You are all welcome to stay the night and resume this discussion in the morning, unless you wish to return to your own homes for the evening.
We're staying,
Rhysand said.
I need to talk to some of the others alone.
Indeed, the others seemed to have similar thoughts, for all decided to stay, even Tamlin. We were shown toward the suites appointed for us, the sunstone turning a deep gold in the late afternoon sun. Tamlin was escorted away first, by Theseon himself and a trembling attendant. He had wisely chosen not to attack Rhys or me during the debating, though his refusal to even acknowledge us did not go unnoticed. And as he left, back stiff and steps clipped, he did not say a word.
Good.
Then Tarquin was led out, then Helion, until only Calais's party and our own waited. Rhys rose from his seat and dragged a hand through his hair.
That went well. It would seem none of us won our bet about who'd fight first.
Asriel stared at the floor, stone-faced.
Sorry.
The word was emotionless, distant. He had not spoken, had barely moved since his savage attack. It had taken more 30 minutes after it to stop shaking.
He had it coming, Vivian said. Eris is a piece of shit.
Calais turned to his mate with high brows.
What?
She put a hand on her chest.
He is.
Be that as it may, Calais said with cool humor. The question remains about whether Baron will fight with us.
If all the others are allying, Moore said hoarsely, her first words in hours. Baron will join. He's too smart to risk siding with Hybern and losing. And I'm sure if things go badly, he'll easily switch over.
Rhys nodded, but faced Calais.
How many troops do you have? Not enough. Amarantha did her job well.
Again that ripple of guilt that pulsed down the bond.
We've got the army that Viv commanded and hid, but not much else. You?
Rhys didn't reveal a whisper of the tension that tightened in me, as if it were my own.
We have sizable forces. Mostly Illyrian legions, and a few thousand Darkbringers. But we'll need every soldier who can march.
Vivian walked to where Moore remained seated, still pale, and braced her hands on my friend's shoulders. I always knew we'd fight along each other one day. Moore dragged her brown eyes up, but she glanced toward Calais, who seemed to be trying his best not to appear worried.
Moore gave the High Lord a look as if to say, "I'll take care of her," before she smiled at Vivian.
"It's almost enough to make me feel bad for Highburn."
"Almost," Vivian grinned wickedly.
"But not quite."
We were led to a suite built around a lavish sitting area and private dining room, all of it carved from that sunstone, bedecked in jewel-toned fabrics, broad cushions clumped along the thick carpets, and overlooked by ornate golden cages filled with birds of all shapes and sizes. I'd spied peacocks parading about the countless courtyards and gardens as we'd walked through Thiessen's home, some preening in the shade beneath potted fig trees. "How did Thiessen keep Amarantha from trashing this place?" I asked Rhys as we surveyed the sitting room that opened to the hazy sprawl of countryside far, far below.
"It's his private residence."
Rhys dismissed his wings and slumped onto a pile of emerald cushions near the darkened fireplace.
"He likely shielded it the same way Calais and I did."
A decision that would weigh heavily on them for many centuries, I had no doubt. But I looked to Azriel, currently leaning against the wall beside the floor-to-ceiling windows, shadows fluttering around him. Even the birds in their cages nearby remained silent. I said down the bond, "Is he all right?" Rhys tucked his hands behind his head, though his mouth tightened.
"Likely not, but if we try to talk to him about it, it'll only make it worse."
Moore was indeed sprawled on a couch, one wary eye on Azriel. Cassian sat beside her, holding her feet in his lap. He'd taken the spot closer to Azriel, right between them, as if he'd leap into their path if need be.
"You handled it beautifully,"
Rhys added.
"All of it."
"Despite my explosion?"
"Because of your explosion."
I met his stare, sensing the emotions swirling beneath as I claimed a seat in an overstuffed chair near my mate's pillow mound.
"I knew that you were powerful, but I didn't realize that you had such an advantage on the others."
Rhys's eyes shuddered, even as he gave me a half-smile.
"I'm not sure even Baron knew until today. Suspected, maybe, but he'll now be wishing he'd found a way to kill me in the cradle."
A shiver skittered down my spine. "He knows about Elaine being Lucian's mate. He makes a move to harm or take her, and he's dead." Uncompromising will swept over the stars in his eyes.
"I'll kill him myself if he does, or hold him long enough for you to do the job. I think I'd enjoy watching you."
"I'll keep it in mind for your next birthday." I drummed my fingers on the polished arm of the chair, the wood as smooth as glass. "Do you really believe Tamlin's claim, that he's been working for our side?"
"Yes."
A beat of silence down the bond.
"And perhaps we did him a disservice by not even considering the possibility. Perhaps even I started to think him some warrior brute."
I felt tired. In my bones, my breath. "Does it change anything, though?"
"In some ways, yes. In others..."
Rhys surveyed me.
"No. No, it does not."
I blinked, realizing I'd been lost in the bond, but found Azriel still by the window, Cassian now rubbing Moore's feet. Nesta had retired to her own room without a word, and remained there. I wondered if Baron's leaving, despite her words, perhaps it had thrown her. I got to my feet, straightening the folds of my shimmering gown. I should check on Nesta. Talk to her. Rhys nestled deeper into his spread of pillows, tucking his hands behind his head.
"She did well today."
Pride fluttered at the praise as I crossed the room, but I got as far as the foyer archway when a knock thudded on the door that opened into the sunny hallway. I halted, the sheer panels of my dress swaying, sparkling like pale blue fire in the golden light. "Don't open it," Moore warned from her spot on the couch. "Even with the shield,
Don't open it.
Rhys uncoiled to his feet.
Wise,
he said, prowling past me to the front door.
But unnecessary.
He opened the door, revealing Helion, alone. Helion braced a hand on the doorframe and grinned.
How do you convince Thiessen to give you the better view? He finds my males to be prettier than yours, I think. I think it's a wing fetish.
Rhys laughed and opened the door wider, beckoning him in.
You've really mastered this swaggering prick performance, by the way. Expertly done.
Helion's robe swayed with his graceful steps, brushing his powerful thighs. He spied me standing by the round table in the center of the foyer and bowed, deeply.
Apologies for the bastard act,
he said to me.
Old habits and all.
Here it was, the amusement and joy in his amber eyes, the lightness that led to my own glow when lost to pure bliss. Helion frowned at Rhys.
You were on unnaturally nice behavior today. I was betting Baron would be dead by the end of it. You can't imagine my shock that he walked out alive.
My mate suggested it would be in our favor to appear as we truly are.
Well, now I look as bad as Baron.
He strode straight past me with a wink, stalking into the sitting room. He grinned at Asriel.
You handing Eris's ass to him
will be my new fantasy at night, by the way. Asriel didn't so much as bother to look over his shoulder at the High Lord, but Cassian snorted,
I was wondering when the come-ons would begin.
Helion threw himself onto the couch across from Cassian and Moore. He ditched that radiant crown somewhere, but kept that gold armband of the upright serpent.
It's been, what, 4 centuries now, and you three still haven't accepted my offer.
Moore lolled her head to the side.
I don't like to share, unfortunately.
You never know until you try,
Helion purred.
The three of them in bed. With him? I must have been blinking like a fool, because Rhys said to me,
Helion favors both males and females, usually together in his bed, and has been hounding after that trio for centuries. I considered. Helion's beauty and the others.
Why the hell haven't they said yes?
Rhys barked a laugh that had all of them looking at him with raised brows. My mate just came up behind me and slid his arms around my waist, pressing a kiss to my neck.
Would you like someone to join us in bed, Feyre, darling?
My skin stretched tight over my bones at the tone, the suggestion.
You're incorrigible. I think you'd like 2 males worshipping you.
My toes curled. Moore cleared her throat.
Whatever you're saying, mind to mind, either share it or go to another room so we don't have to sit here stewing in your sense.
I stuck out my tongue. Rhys laughed again, kissing my neck once more before saying,
Apologies for offending your delicate sensibilities, cousin.
I pushed out of his embrace, out of the touch that still made me dizzy enough that basic thought became difficult, and claimed a chair adjacent to Moore and Cassian's couch. Cassian said to Helion,
Are your forces ready?
Helion's amusement faded, reshaping into that hard, calculating exterior.
Yes. They'll rendezvous with yours in the Myrmidons.
The mountain range we shared at our border. He'd refused to divulge such information earlier.
Good,
Cassian said, rubbing at the arch of Moore's foot.
We'll push south from there.
With the final encampment being where? Moore asked, withdrawing her foot from Cassian's hands and tucking both feet beneath her.
Helion traced the curve of her bare leg, his amber eyes a bit glazed as he met hers. Moore didn't balk from the heated look, and a keen sort of awareness seemed to overtake her, like every nerve in her body shook awake. I didn't dare look toward Asriel.
There must have been multiple shields around the room, around every crack and opening where spying eyes and ears might be waiting, because Cassian said,
"We join Theseus's forces, then eventually make camp along Calais's southwestern border, near the summer court."
Helion drew his gaze from Moore long enough to ask Rhys,
"You and pretty Tarquin had a moment today. Do you truly think he'll join us?"
"If you mean in bed, definitely not," Rhys said with a wry smile as he again sprawled on his spread of cushions.
"But if you mean in this war, yes, I believe he means to fight. Baron, on the other hand..."
"Highburn is focusing on the south," Helion said.
"And regardless of what you think Tamlin's up to, the Spring Court is now mostly occupied. Baron has to realize his court will be a battleground if he doesn't join us to push southward, especially if Summer has joined us."
Meaning the Spring Court and human lands would see the brunt of the battles. "Will Baron choose to listen to reason, though?" Moore mused. Helion tapped a finger against the carved arm of his couch.
"He played games in the war, and it cost him dearly. His people still remember those choices, those losses. His own damn wife remembers."
Helion had looked at the Lady of Autumn repeatedly during the meeting. I asked, carefully and casually, "What do you mean?" Moore shook her head, not at what I'd said, but at whatever had occurred.
Helion fixed his full attention upon me.
It was an effort not to flinch at the weight of that focus, the simmering intensity.
The muscled body was only a mask to hide that cunning mind beneath. I wondered if Rhys had picked that up from him. Helion folded an ankle over a knee.
"The Lady of the Autumn Court's two older sisters were indeed..."
He searched for a word.
"Butchered. Tormented and then butchered. During the war."
I shut out Nesta's screaming. Shut out Elaine's sobbing as she was hauled toward that cauldron. Lucian's aunts. Dead before he'd ever existed. Had his mother ever told him this story? Rhys explained to me.
"Hybern's forces had swarmed our lands by that point."
Helion's jaw clenched.
"The Lady of the Autumn Court was sent to stay with her sisters. Her younger children packed off to other relatives, to spread out the bloodline."
He dragged a hand through his sable hair.
"Highburn attacked their estate. Her sisters bought her time to run. Not because she was married to Baron, but because they loved each other. Fiercely. She tried to stay, but they convinced her to go. So she did. She ran and ran, but Highburn's beasts were still faster. Stronger. They cornered her at a ravine, where she became trapped atop a ledge, the beasts snapping at her feet."
He didn't speak for a long moment. Too many details. He knew so many details. I said quietly, "You saved her. You found her, didn't you?" A coronet of light seemed to flicker over that thick black hair.
"I did."
There was enough weight, anger, and something else in those two words that I studied the High Lord of Day. "What happened?" Helion didn't break my stare.
"I tore the beasts apart with my bare hands."
A chill slid down my spine. "Why?" He could have ended it 1,000 other ways. Easier ways. Cleaner ways. Rhys's bloody hands after the raven's attack flashed through my mind. Helion didn't so much as shift in his chair.
"She was still young. Though she'd been married to that delightful male for nearly 2 decades. Married too young. The marriage arranged when she was 20.
The words were clipped. And 20, so young. Nearly as young as Moore had been when her own family tried to marry her to Eris. "So?" A dangerous, taunting question.
and how his eyes burned at that, flaring bright as suns. But it was Moore who said coolly,
"I heard a rumor once, Helion, that she waited before agreeing to that marriage for a certain someone who had met her by chance at an equinox ball the year before."
I tried not to blink, not to let any of my rising interest surface. The fire banked to embers, and Helion threw a half-smile in Moore's direction.
"Interesting. I heard her family wanted internal ties to power, and that they didn't give her a choice before they sold her to Baron."
"Sold her." Moore's nostrils flared. Cassian ran a hand down the back of her hair. Asriel didn't so much as turn from his vigil at the window, though I could have sworn his wings tucked in a bit tighter.
"Too bad they're just rumors," Rhys cut in smoothly, "and can't be confirmed by anyone."
Helion merely toyed with the gold cuff on his sculpted arm, twisting the serpent to the center of his bicep. But I furrowed my brows. "Does Baron know you saved his wife in the war?" He hadn't mentioned anything during the meeting. Helion let out a dark laugh.
"Cauldron, no!"
There was enough wry, knowing humor that I straightened. "You had an affair after you rescued her?" The amusement only grew, and Helion pushed a finger against his lips in mock warning.
"Careful, High Lady. Even the birds report to Theseon here."
I frowned at the birds in cages throughout the room, still silent in Asriel's shadowy presence.
"I threw shields around them," Rhys said down the bond.
"How long did the affair last?" I asked. "That withdrawn female. I couldn't imagine it." Helion snorted.
"Is that a polite question for a high lady to be asking?"
But the way he spoke, that smile. I only waited, using silence to push him instead. Helion shrugged.
"On and off for decades. Until Baron found out. They say the lady was all brightness and smiles before that. And after Baron was through with her, you saw what she is."
"What did he do to her?"
"The same thing he does now."
Helion waved a hand.
"Belittle her. Leave bruises where no one but him will see them."
I clenched my teeth. "If you were her lover, why didn't you stop it?" The wrong thing to say, utterly wrong by the dark fury that rippled across Helion's face. "Baron is a high lord, and she is his wife, mother of his brood. She chose to stay. Chose.
And with the protocols and rules, lady, you will find that most situations like the one you were in do not end well for those who interfere."
I didn't back down, didn't apologize. "You barely even looked at her today."
"We have more important matters at hand."
"Baron never called you out for it?"
"To publicly do so would be to admit that his possession made a fool of him. So we continue our little dance, these centuries later."
I somehow doubted that beneath that roguish charm and irreverence, Helion felt it was a dance at all. But if it had ended centuries ago, and she'd never seen him again, had let Baron treat her so abominably...
"Whatever you've just figured out," Rhys said, "you'd better stop looking so shocked by it."
I forced a smile to my face. "You high lords really do love your melodrama, don't you?" Helion's own smile didn't reach his eyes, but Rhys asked,
"In your libraries, have you ever encountered a mention of how the wall might be repaired?"
Helion began asking why we wanted to know, what Highburn was doing with the cauldron, and Rhys fed him answers easily and smoothly. While we spoke, I said down the bond,
"Helion is Lucian's father."
Rhys was silent. Then,
"Holy burning hell."
His shock was a shooting star between us. I let my gaze dart through the room, half paying attention to Helion's musing on the wall and how to repair it, then dared study the High Lord for a heartbeat. Look at him. The nose is the same, the smile, the voice. Even Lucian's skin is darker than his brother's. A golden brown compared to their pale coloring.
It would explain why his father and brothers detest him so much. Why they've tormented him his entire life.
My heart squeezed at that. And why Aerys didn't want him dead. He wasn't a threat to Aerys's power, his throne. I swallowed. Helion has no idea. Does he?
It would seem not.
The Lady of the Autumn's favorite son. Not only from Lucian's goodness, but because he was the child she dreamed of having, with the male she undoubtedly loved. Baron must have discovered the affair when she was pregnant with Lucian.
He likely suspected, but there was no way to prove it. Not if she was sharing his bed, too.
Rhys's disgust was a tang in my mouth.
I have no doubt Baron debated killing her for the betrayal, and even afterward, when Lucian could be passable as his own offspring, just enough to make him doubt who had sired his last son.
I wrapped my head around it. Lucian, not Baron's son, but Helion's. His power is flame, though. They've mused Baron's title could go to him.
His mother's family is strong. That was why Baron wanted a bride from their line. The gift could be hers.
You never suspected?
Not once. I'm mortified I didn't even consider it.
What does this mean, though?
Nothing. Ultimately nothing. Other than the fact that Lucian might be Helion's sole heir.
And that, it changed nothing in this war, especially not with Lucian on the continent, hunting that enchanted queen. A bird of flame, and a lord of fire. I wondered if they'd found each other yet. A door opened and shut in the foyer beyond, and I braced myself as Nesta appeared. Helion paused his debating the wall to survey her carefully, as he had done earlier. Spell Cleaver. That was his title. She surveyed him with her usual disdain. But Helion gave her the same bow he'd offered me, though his smile was edged with enough sensuality that even my heart raced a bit. No wonder the Lady of Autumn hadn't stood a chance. I don't think we were introduced properly earlier, he crooned to Nesta. I don't care, Nesta said with a snap of her wrist, striding right past him and up to my side. I'd like a word, she said. Now. Cassian was biting his knuckle to keep from laughing, at the utter surprise and shock on Helion's face. It wasn't every day, I supposed, that anyone of either sex dismissed him so thoroughly. I threw the High Lord a semi-apologetic glance, and led my sister out of the room. What is it? I asked, when Nesta and I had entered her bedroom, the space bedecked in pink silk and gold, accents of ivory scattered throughout. The lavishness of it indeed put our various homes to shame. We need to leave, Nesta said. Right now. Every sense went on alert. Why? It feels wrong. Something feels wrong. I studied her. The clear sky beyond the towering drape-framed windows. Rhys and the others would sense it. You're likely just picking up on all the power gathered here. Something is wrong, Nesta insisted. I'm not doubting you feel that way, but if none of the others are picking it up... I'm not like the others. Her throat bobbed. We need to leave. I can send you back to Valaris, but we have things to discuss here. I don't care about me, I... The door opened and Cassian stalked in, face grave. The sight of the wings, The Illyrian armor in this opulent, pink-filled room planted itself in my mind, the painting already taking form, as he said.
What's wrong?
He studied every inch of her, as if there was nothing and no one else here, anywhere. But I said, "She senses something is off. Says we need to leave right away." I waited for the dismissal, but Cassian angled his head.
"What precisely feels wrong?"
Nesta stiffened, mouth pursing as she weighed his tone. "It feels like there's this dread, this sense that I forgot something, but can't remember what." Cassian stared at her for a moment longer.
"I'll tell Rhys."
And he did. Within moments, Rhys, Cassian, and Asriel had vanished, leaving Mor and Helion in alert silence. I waited with Nesta. 5 minutes. 10. 15. 30 minutes later they returned, shaking their heads. Nothing. Not in the palace, not in the lands around it, not in the skies above or the earth below, not for miles and miles, nothing. Rhys even checked with Amarin and found nothing amiss in Valaris. Elaine, mercifully, safe and sound. None of them, however, were stupid enough to suggest that Nesta had made it up. Not with that otherworldly power in her veins, or that perhaps the dread was a lingering effect of her time in Highburn, like the crushing panic that I'd struggled to face down, that still stalked me some nights. So we stayed. We ate in our private dining room, Helion joining us. No sign of Tarquin or Theseyn. Certainly not Tamlin. Kalias and Vivian appeared midway through the meal, and Mor kicked Cassian out of his seat to make space for her friend. They chatted and gossiped, even though Mor kept glancing at Helion. And the High Lord of Day kept glancing at her. Asriel barely spoke, those shadows still perched on his shoulders. Mor barely looked at him. But we dined and drank for hours, until night was overhead. And though Rhys and Kalias were tense, careful around each other, by the end of the meal, they were at least talking. Nesta was the first to leave the table, still wary and on edge. The others made one final check of the grounds before we tumbled into the silk sheets of our cloud-soft beds. Rhys and I left Mor and Helion talking knee to knee on the sitting room cushions. Vivian and Kalias long returned to their suite. I had no idea where Asriel went off to, or Cassian for that matter. And when I emerged from washing up in the ivory and gold bathing room, and Helion's deep murmur and Mor's sultry laugh flitted in from the hall, when it moved past our door and then her door creaked open and closed. Rhysand's wings were folded in tightly as he surveyed the stars beyond the bedroom windows. Quieter and smaller here somehow. Why? He knew what I meant.
Mor gets spooked, and what Az did today scared the shit out of her.
The violence?
The violence as a result of what he feels. Lingering guilt over the deal with Eris. And what neither of them will face.
Don't you think it's been long enough? And that taking Helion to bed is likely the worst possible thing to do? But I had no doubt Helion needed a distraction as much as Mor did. From thinking too long about the people they loved, who they could not have.
Mor and Asriel have both taken lovers throughout the centuries, he said,
wings shifting slightly.
The only difference here is the close proximity.
You sound remarkably fine with this. Rhys glanced over a shoulder to where I lingered by the foot of the massive ivory bed, its carved headboard fashioned after overlapping water lilies.
It's their life. Their relationship. They've both had plenty of opportunities to confess what they feel, yet they have not. Mor especially. For private reasons of her own, I'm sure. My meddling isn't going to make it any better.
But he loves her. How can he sit idly by?
He thinks she's happier without him.
His eyes shone with the memory of his own choice to sit back,
He thinks he's unworthy of her.
It seems like an Illyrian trait.
Rhys snorted, returning to the stars.
I came up to his side and slid my arm around his waist. He opened his arms to me, cupping my shoulder as I rested my head against that soft spot where his own shoulder met his chest. A heartbeat later, his wing curved around me too, enveloping me in his shadowed warmth.
There will come a day when Asriel has to decide if he's going to fight for her or let her go. And it won't be because some other male insults her or beds her.
And what about Cassian?
He's entangled and enabling this nonsense.
A wry smile.
Cassian is going to have to decide some things, too. In the near future, I think.
Are he and Nesta?
I don't know. Until the bond snaps into place, it can be hard to detect.
Rhys swallowed once, gaze fixed on the stars.
I simply waited. Tamlin still loves you, you know.
I know.
That was an ugly encounter.
All of it was ugly, I said.
What Baron and Tamlin had brought up with Amarantha, what Rhys had been forced to reveal.
Are you all right?
I could still feel the clamminess of his hand upon mine as he spoke of what Amarantha had done. He brushed a thumb down my shoulder. It wasn't easy.
He amended.
I thought I'd vomit all over the floor. I squeezed him a little tighter.
I'm sorry you had to share those things. Sorry for all of it, Rhys.
I breathed in his scent, taking it deep into my lungs.
Out. We had made it out.
And I know it likely means nothing, but I'm proud of you, that you were brave enough to tell them.
It doesn't mean nothing, he said softly.
That you feel that way about me, about today.
He kissed my temple, and warmth flickered along the bond.
It means...
His wing curved closer around me.
I don't have the words to tell you what it means.
But as that love, that joy and light shimmered through the bond, I understood. He peered down at me.
And are you all right?
I nestled my head further into his chest.
I just feel tired. Sad. Sad that it turned so awful and yet furious about everything that happened to me, to my sisters. I
blew out a long breath. When I was back at the Spring Court, I swallowed. I looked for their wings. Rhys went utterly still, and I took his hand, squeezing hard as he only said,
"Did you find them?"
The words were barely a brush of air. I shook my head, but said before the grief on his face could grow, "I learned that he burned them long ago." Rhys said nothing for a lingering moment, his attention returning to the stars.
Thank you for even thinking, for risking, to look for them.
The only trace, the horrific remnants of his mother and sister.
I didn't... I'm glad he burned them,
Rhys admitted.
I could happily kill him for so many things, and yet...
He rubbed his chest.
I'm glad he offered them that peace, at least.
I nodded. I know. I ran my thumb over the back of his hand. And perhaps because of the raw, stark quiet, I confessed, it feels strange to share a room, a bed, with you under the same roof as him.
I can imagine.
For somewhere in this palace, Tamlin was lying in bed, well aware that I was about to enter this one with Rhysand.
The past tangled and snarled, and I whispered, I don't think I can have sex here. With him so close. Reese remained quiet. I'm sorry if...
You don't need to apologize. Ever.
I looked up, finding his gaze on me. Not angry or frustrated, but sad. Knowing. I want to share this bed with you, though, I breathed. I want you to hold me. Stars flickered to life in his eyes.
Always, he promised, kissing my brow, his wings now enveloping me completely. Always.
Chapter 48 Helion slipped from Moore's room before we were awake, though I certainly heard them throughout the night. Enough so that Reese put a shield around our room. Azriel and Cassian didn't return at all. Moore didn't look like a female who had been tumbling with a gorgeous High Lord, however, as she picked at her breakfast. There was something vacant in her brown eyes, a paleness to her ordinarily golden skin. Cassian strutted in at last, greeting Moore with a chipper.
You look terrible. Helion keep you up all night?
She threw her spoon at him, then her porridge. Cassian caught the first and shielded against the other, his siphon blazing like an awakening ember. Porridge slid to the floor. Helion wanted you to join, she mildly replied, refilling her tea. Quite badly.
Maybe next time, Cassian said, dropping into the seat beside me. How's your sister?
She seemed fine. Still worried. I didn't ask where he and Azriel had been all night, if only because I wasn't sure Moore wanted to hear the answer. Cassian served himself from the platters of fruits and pastries, frowning at the lack of meat.
Ready for another day full of arguing and plotting?
Moore and I grumbled. Reese strode in, hair still damp from his bath, and grinned.
That's the spirit.
Despite the fraught day ahead, I smiled at my mate. He'd held me all night, tucked against his chest, his wing draped over me. A different sort of intimacy than sex. Deeper. Our souls entwined, holding tight. I'd awoken to his wing still over me, his breath tickling my ear. My throat had closed up as I'd studied his sleeping face, my chest tightening to the point of pain. I was well aware how wildly I loved him. But looking at him then, I felt it in every pore of my body, felt it as if it might crush me, consume me. And the next time someone insulted him... The thought was still prowling through my mind as we finished breakfast, dressed, and returned to that chamber atop the palace, to begin forming the backbone of this alliance. I kept the crown from yesterday, but swapped my starfall gown for one of glittering black, the dress made up of solid ebony silk overlaid with shimmering obsidian gossamer. Its skirts flowed behind me, the tight sleeves tapered to points that brushed the center of my hand, looped into place around my middle finger with an attached onyx ring. If I was a fallen star yesterday, today Reese's mysterious clothier had made me into the Queen of Night. The rest of my companions had dressed accordingly. Yesterday we had been ourselves, open and friendly and caring. Today, we showed the other courts what we'd unleash upon our enemies, what we were capable of. If provoked. Helion was back to his edged, swaggering aloofness, lounging in his chair as we entered that lovely chamber atop one of the palace's many gilded towers. He gave Moore an extra glance, lips curving in sensual amusement. He was resplendent today, in robes of cobalt edged in gold that offset his gleaming brown skin, golden sandals upon his feet. Azriel,
shadows wafting from his shoulders and trailing at his feet, ignored him as he passed. The shadow singer hadn't shown a flicker of emotion, however, to Moore when he'd met us in the foyer. She hadn't asked where he'd been all night and morning, and Asriel had volunteered nothing. But he didn't seem inclined to ignore her, at least. No, he'd just settled back into his usual watchful quiet. And Moore had been content to let him, slumping a bit in relief as soon as he'd turned to lead us to the meeting, likely having already scouted the walk minutes ago. Thiessen was the only person who bothered to greet us when we passed through that wisteria-draped archway. But he took one look at our attire, our faces, and muttered a prayer to the cauldron. His lover, clad in his captain's armor once more, sized us up, his wings flaring slightly, but kept seated with the other peregrines. Tamlin arrived last, raking his gaze over all of us as he sat. I didn't bother to acknowledge him. And Helion didn't wait for Thiessen to beckon to begin. He merely crossed an ankle over a knee and said,
I thoroughly reviewed the charts and figures you've compiled, Tamlin. And?
Tamlin bit out. Today would go incredibly well, then.
And?
Helion said simply, no trace of the laughing, easy male of the night before.
If you can rally your forces quickly, you and Tarquin might be able to hold the front line long enough for those of us above the middle to bring the larger hosts.
It's not that easy, Tamlin said through his teeth.
I have a third of them left.
A seething look toward me. After Feyre destroyed their faith in me.
I had done that. In my rage, my need for vengeance. I hadn't thought long term. Hadn't considered that perhaps we would need that army, but...
Nesta let out a breathy, sharp noise and surged from her chair.
I lunged for her, nearly tripping over the skirts of my dress as she staggered back, a hand clutching at her chest. Another step would have taken her stumbling into the reflection pool, but Moore sprang forward, gripping her.
"What's wrong?" Moore demanded, holding my sister upright as her face contorted in what looked to be pain, confusion and... pain.
Sweat beaded on Nesta's brow, though her face went deathly pale.
Something.
The word was cut off by a low groan. She sagged, and Moore caught her fully, scanning Nesta's face. Cassian was instantly there, his hand at her back, teeth bared at the invisible threat.
Nesta, I said, reaching for her. Nesta seized, then twisted past Cassian to empty her stomach into the reflection pool.
Poison? Kalias asked, pushing Vivian behind him. She merely stepped around his arm. Tamlin remained seated, his jaw a hard line, monitoring us all. But Helion and Thiessen strode forward, grim and focused. Helion's power flickered around him like blinding bright fireflies, darting to my sister, landing on her gently. Thiessen, glowing gold and rosy, laid a hand on Nesta's arm, healing.
Nothing, they said together.
Nesta rested her head against Moore's shoulder, her breathing ragged.
Something is wrong, she managed to say. Not with me. Not me.
But with the cauldron. Rhys was having some sort of silent conversation with Asriel and Cassian, the latter monitoring every breath my sister took. But the two Illyrians nodded to Rhys and began stalking for the open windows to fly out. Nesta moaned, body tensing as if she'd vomit again. But then, we felt it. A shuddering through the earth, through air and stone and green growing things. As if some great god blew a breath across the land. Then the impact came. Rhys threw himself over me so fast I didn't register wholly that the mountain itself shook, that the building swayed. We hit the stones as the debris rained, and I felt him readying to winnow. Then it stopped, Screaming rose up from the valley below. But silence reigned in the palace, amongst us. Nesta vomited again,